Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. If you have your Bibles ready today, we'll be in the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verses 7 through 13. The title of the sermon is, But God Said. Here is the first half of this two-part study. Amen. Amen. So, but God said in Genesis 21, in verse 7, I'm going to get right at it because we got to get going. And what I mean by that is we only got, you know, verses 7 through 13, but we got a lot to cover. In verse 7 it says, And she said, Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a child, yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So last week we spoke about the promise being fulfilled. Sarah has now given birth to Isaac. So Abraham and Sarah, after 25 years, have a child, just as God had promised them. But she's also saying, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? And this is a beautiful picture because there's no formula for you to run out and go get, but this just gives the beauty of God's unmerited favor and grace and the power to create. Don't forget that in the promise. It's the power to create. God is the one who answered the promise. It's all happening because of God, and that's the beauty of it. And verse 8, it says, And the children grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. And so as we see this, we see that the word weaned is actually to convey that a picture of removing of a child with the mother no longer needing to be on milk. And so we have... The beauty of that is you have the child is at an age now where it doesn't need to be attached to the mom every 2 hours to feed. Probably around the age of 3 is what we believe that age is. And 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22 says, But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Come on in. We are the few but few. You can use a comfortable chair. You take a comfortable chair. Right. And so we know Hannah gave birth and she turned her child over after the child was weaned. And that was, you know, around age 3 when that happened. In verse 9 of Genesis 21, it says, But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. And most of you have in your Bible that Ishmael was laughing or mocking Isaac. And so there's something else that's very important that you see. It says, Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. The Egyptian, that's actually given to us in the Bible that she is a Gentile, and so a slave, and so that's given to us in that piece of scripture as well, one of the things that are given. But it's what we have happening is you have Ishmael mocking Isaac, and this is very important because Paul attests to this in Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 through 23. It says, For it was written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, That would be the Egyptian, right? And one by a free woman, that would be Sarah. But the son of the slave was according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through the promise. And this is important for us, and this is why I wanted to really stop here and really spend some time, as you have Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael is born according to the flesh, according to the Apostle Paul, right? Born of what? The flesh. But Isaac is born according to the promise, and he is a Jew. So you have the Arabs, which was Ishmael, and then you have the Jewish people. The nation of Israel comes out of Isaac. The promise is going to be fulfilled through Isaac. And so Ishmael's descendants actually, we'll look at, actually, even as we get to Genesis 36, verse 12, we'll see Esau's descendants. Esau marries one of Ishmael's daughters, and the Amalekites are birthed out of that in Genesis 36, verse 12. But we also know that the promise was fulfilled that he was a wild donkey of a man, and that he the Arab nation did thrive. We'll look at all of that, and all of that does happen. But one of the things that we do know is that when we look at this piece of scripture, just looking at the Quran, the Christians believe that Muhammad was a direct descendant of Ishmael, and that those who follow the Muslim faith believe that they are descendants of Ishmael and not Isaac. And so Paul wrote this before the Quran was ever published, right? We talked about the Word of God this past week. We talked about that the Word of God is pure. It doesn't mislead people. It's without deceit. And so when we think about the Quran, unfortunately, it is full of deceit, because there's no way, according to just the biblical records that we have and the records that we have of the historians of the time, that Muhammad came from the descendants of Ishmael. But that's what he claimed. And they also claim, and this is very important for you to get, when Ishmael, the descendants of the Ishmaelites are one of the things that they believe is that they believe that because he was the firstborn, right? Because he's the firstborn, who does the land belong to? That's why they're fighting over Palestine. Because they believe that they are descendants of Ishmael, and it was his birthright to have that land. But we know that the Apostle Paul said very specifically that Ishmael was born of the flesh. The flesh. It was born of sin. Right? It was not, they tried to do something to fulfill the promise on their own, in their own and man's thinking, and it was of the flesh. But the promise that was fulfilled with Isaac was fulfilled by God. And so this is where all of the battles happen over land and over the Middle East. And it really comes down to the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael. And so we know that the legal son, according to God, the promise was fulfilled by God, and it was through Abraham with Isaac, right? And Isaac is fathered the children of Israel, right? Abraham fathers the children of Israel through Isaac, and the nation of Israel is birthed. And so we see that the Jews established a major nation through the greater Israel, and that's, you can read throughout the Bible, as you see King David and Solomon, they controlled pretty much most of, more than what we give Israel now, right? But then the problems happen. They lose a lot of it because of why? Sin. Disobedience. They don't follow God, right? They don't follow God, and so they lose it. And then the Romans come, and they get scattered, right? And the Arabs eventually take over. The Crusaders came in from the Christian kingdom, and then eventually the Arabs have ruled the area for almost 2,000 years. Prior to World War I, Palestine was conquered by the Turks. So Turkey chose to support the great chose to support Germany. And when they lost, Great Britain was given Palestine. Now, why is all this important? Because this is what we're fighting over today, right? All of this stuff, we're still, the thing that happened as Ishmael mocks Isaac, this is still happening today. They're still fighting today. So Great Britain actually opens the door for the Jewish immigrants to come in to Palestine. And then over World War II, the British no longer continued to govern Palestine. And then they turned it over to the United Nations. United Nations divided Palestine half in the Jews and half for the Arabs. The Jews accepted it, but the Arabs refused. Big, big point there, right? And then they declare war on them the next day. So in 1947, 1948, the Arab-Israeli war broke out. This little tiny nation that just became a nation is already at war on day one. And so Israel had control of all of Palestine and Gaza and the West Bank. And then eventually, everybody's out. Come on in. You're fine. Eventually what happens is the Gaza Strip of land in the Mediterranean Sea, bordering Egypt, it contained about 139 square miles. And then in 2005, the Israeli military actually occupied Gaza, and then they gave it up in 2005. So Palestine actually had control of Palestine, right? So the descendants of Ishmael actually had control of Palestine, but then they started in 2006 allowing Hamas to win the seats of the parliament, and eventually Hamas took over. And then they had the unfortunate thing happen where you have Hamas or working with Iran and Hezbollah to, all they want to do is destroy Israel. So when you think about Ishmael and Isaac, Ishmael mocking Isaac, all Ishmael wanted to do was control, because he didn't want to lose his birthright, right? This little kid's going to take his birthright, Isaac. And so what we have happen is now you have Hamas, who has launched over 6,000 rockets into Israel from the time of they've taken over, and done everything they can do to destroy Israel. And then eventually the October 7th events happen. They have over 1,200 people that are brutally slaughtered. And you have over, and I'm going to give you these numbers because I think they're important. You have over 274 soldiers, 859 non-soldiers that were brutally assaulted. They also have 57 Israeli police officers and 38 local security officers all killed. And that's not including the things that were done to the babies that were decapitated and burnt. That's not including the rape that happened. They actually raped their wives in front of the husbands before they killed the husbands. They actually had, and this is all part of October 7th, and people who worked in morgues could not, they had to walk away. That's how bad it was. You have people that do it for a living, and they couldn't do it. They had to walk out. And so this comes back to the question of, why do we support Israel as Christians, right? Why do we support Israel as Christians? Why do we support the descendants of Isaac, right? And it's an important question that we have to answer for ourselves as believers, because we see a lot of things going on in the world today that unfortunately, just the stuff that I heard today, where you're calling for your professors to be, their heads to be cut off. They were doing that today. Nazi symbols. I never thought in my lifetime, ever, right, that the Palestinian or the pro-Hamas, whatever you want to call them, that they would actually put swastikas in Columbia University, paint them on the thing. They wouldn't allow students to class in UCLA, right? But it's not just Jewish students. It was Black Americans as well that weren't allowed to their classrooms. And all of this stuff is going on, and Americans are actually supporting it. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6-8, it's understandable that the blind will follow the blind. If you're not a believer in Christ, it's understandable that you may fall into these things. But if you know Jesus, there's a reason why we support Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8 says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and he has chosen you to be his people, prized above all others on the face of the earth. It is not because you were more numerous than all the other peoples that the Lord favored and chose you, for in fact you were the least numerous of all peoples. Rather, it was because of his love for you and his faithfulness to the promise he solemnly vowed to your ancestors that the Lord brought you out with great power, redeeming you out of Egypt." Let me get back to that. I'm jumped ahead here. Right, so he brought you out of great power, redeeming you from the place of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, of king of Egypt. And so one of the things that we know is that there was, going back to even the time of Pharaoh, they wanted to enslave the Jews. They've gone through great persecution their whole life as a nation, right? But God's chosen them. They're the chosen people. And they are a chosen nation. God has made a promise to them, and Isaac is part of this promise. Isaac was just born, and he's part of this promise. And so one of the things that we love is that the Lord did not set his love on them because they were vast in number, but because they were the fewest. Here we have little Isaac, and then out of that, the Jewish nation is going to be birthed, right? The Lord kept his promise. And so there's an eternal purpose also for Israel. We know that John 4:22 says that salvation is from the Jews, but the fullness of the future blessings is indicated in the wondrous promise of Isaiah 27, verse 6. "In the days to come, Jacob will take root, Israel will bud and blossom and fill all the world with fruit." And so there's a thing that you need to remember as you study the Bible. You have to understand that salvation comes from the Jews. And then who was Jesus? He was a Jewish carpenter, right? He comes from the lion. He's the Lion of Judah. And so we know that our Savior is Jewish. But he opens the door for the Gentiles. So as much as we see the chaos of Hamas or Hezbollah or Iran, God wants them to be saved too through his son Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, this verse pretty much covers what it means. And it says, "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by so-called circumcision that is performed on the body by the human hands, that you at the time without the Messiah, alienated from citizenship of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who used to be far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, the one who made both groups into one and who destroyed the middle wall of partition, the hostility when he nullified in the flesh the law of commandments and decrees. He did this to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace." So through this, as Jesus comes into the world and dies on the cross, he comes at a place where that, like, hey, it doesn't matter that you're descendants of Isaac. Doesn't matter that you're descendants of Ishmael. Y'all can all come to peace, and y'all can all come to Christ. It's open for everybody. "And to reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by which hostility has been killed. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, so that through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer foreigners and non-citizens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, because you have been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus himself, as the cornerstone, in whom building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So what we see is that the, like, we everyone has the opportunity to follow Jesus, right? And so what happens now is you have, unfortunately, we talked about it this past weekend. We talked about, you know, the pure spiritual milk is pure, right? And what that means, being pure, it's without deceit. It doesn't mislead. The Word of God doesn't mislead. It doesn't lie to you. It's without deceit. The Quran lies to you. Muhammad lied to you. There's a lot of deceit and misleading in there, because they don't even believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And so the thing is, though, is through Jesus, even those that have done the most horrendous things in Hamas, they can come to faith, because that's what Jesus died on the cross for. And so when we think about what's happening between the two divisions of you know, Isaac and Ishmael, we need to remember, for us, the Jews are biblically speaking, they're the chosen people of God, right? They're the chosen people of God, and we are built upon them, right, as prophets and apostles in Christ Jesus. And we're built upon that. As Jesus is the cornerstone, we see that the Abrahamic covenant has been promised and is being fulfilled. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 through 3, it says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So it's very important that we understand, like, for us as believers, we support Israel. Now, we don't support, and this is not a blind support, which we need to make sure we get. It's not a blind support, meaning if Israel was to just go bomb Germany for no reason, we don't support that, right? But we support the promise, because we know the promise, they're the promised nation, and that our salvation came from Jesus, and we're built upon that foundation together. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all made in the image of God, but we all have the choice to follow or not follow. And unfortunately, as one of the things that we've seen in our nation, in the United States, when we think about this, and this goes back to 1948, Harry Truman actually was the one who recognized Israel as a nation since 1948. And so it goes back to that verse, which I take very seriously, which is, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And it says, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. And so we've seen, like, our nation has supported Israel up until this month. I don't know what's going on our colleges. I don't know what's going on in our government. Our government has actually withheld actual weapons that are needed, because they don't want them to go into Rafah. And all of Hamas is under the city in Rafah with the hostages. I've never in my lifetime thought we would have American hostages still held this long. They never talk about them on the news. So as a nation, as a church, we stand with Israel, right? We cannot forget, to actually have students worshiping Allah at campuses. Young kids that don't know nothing, but they've been indoctrinated. And so when I think about Harry Truman, was Truman Democrat? Probably not a Democrat like today. I don't even think John F. Kennedy would be a Democrat today. But you have an administration that has deliberately tried to, they need votes. So what are we going to do? We're going to hold back weapons. Going to hold back stuff. And when I read that verse and I go, well, wait a minute, it says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who will curse you. Now, that's not good for us as a nation. It's not good for us to actually have Democratic donors teaching our youth how to protest and box themselves in and how to fight against riot police. To me, that's home terrorism. But you want to act like the descendants of Ishmael? Go ahead, because God will deal with it. That's his nation. And look, Israel's not, let's be honest, Israel is an agnostic nation. They have lost their way. They don't follow the Messiah either. Most of them don't follow God anymore. But the promise will still be fulfilled. And Jesus will return, and there'll be a great number of Jews that will join the family of God. And so we see the relationship that happens between these two. The Bible warned about the conflict between these. Like, there's going to be issues with these two, Ishmael and Isaac.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.